Unit 38, that's a 2-1, that's half 36. Copy, that's 1-4, show us on route, ETA 2 minutes.
Welcome to Running Code, the podcast where you, the viewer and the listener, get to know a little bit more about us, the men and women of the Newport News, Virginia Police Department. It is great to be back with you, Melissa. Always a pleasure.
Always.
We have a very interesting guest, a fascinating colleague, I would say, with an excellent story.
Yes, and perfect timing, I might add, with some of the things that he likes to do and the time of year we have coming up. It's a good time to have him on the show.
Absolutely. I agree totally. May I?
Please.
Introduce yourself, Wayne.
All right. I'm Wayne Spencer. Been with the department going on 28 years this year. I am currently a captain, and my current assignment is support services, which we cover recruiting, training, property and evidence, and records.
Wow. So you got a lot of things going on, Wayne.
Yes. That's a lot. Good gracious.
Where are you from originally?
Hampton, Virginia.
Okay. All right. Always been in this area?
I have. Born and raised. Grew up off of Armstead and Mercury over there by the Coliseum.
So you're a Hamptonian originally?
I am.
I was about to say, shout out to Hampton. We'll give it to him.
Okay, we'll give it to him. By the way, did you know they have a new podcast? I heard about it.
I saw.
Yeah. Best wishes to y'all.
Flattery.
All right.
Flattery.
But the funny thing is, as I get into it, went to Hampton High School, played baseball and football for Hampton. Blessed enough to be drafted by the Red Sox out of high school in the 48th round in 1992, which is a long time ago. But ended up going up to VCU and playing 4 years up there.
Wow. So you're in the 12th grade, you're playing ball at school, and you get drafted by the Red Sox.
Yes.
And you opt to go to college instead.
Yes.
Share with us that choice.
Back then, if you weren't getting drafted in the top 5 to 10 rounds, you weren't getting any type of guaranteed money. It was a plane ticket to come down and try out. And if you didn't succeed in it, then your college eligibility was done. So
very strategic.
It was kind of, you got to weigh the options. So I could have went and played minor league ball and everything else, but didn't. Went to VCU, studied criminal justice up there.
Now, wow. See, if it had been the Yankees, it'd have been a different story.
You know what? Funny thing
is, I'm just poking.
Oh no, my dad's a huge Yankees fan.
Is he?
Yes.
Listen, the Yankees solve everything.
Yeah. So, Pops, Yankees. What are you?
Red Sox.
How's that work out?
Really?
We have great relationship.
Oh my gosh, that's phenomenal. Wow.
Oh gosh.
Yep.
So you end up going to VCU where you play ball, and you did a full 4 years there?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
College was a great experience. Studied criminal justice up there. Started getting into, towards the end of my career, a couple different things had presented itself to me to start a career. And a lot of that was teaching, coaching kids coming up through high school, giving lessons and everything. Fun fact, one of my kids that I taught up there in Richmond was Justin Verlander.
And you'll have to forgive me, I'm not a big baseball fan. Tell me where he's at today.
He's with the San Francisco Giants now, and he's been in the league for over 20 years.
Wow.
And are you familiar with baseball?
I love baseball.
Oh, you do?
I do.
So these names mean something. Wow, that's impressive. Wow.
Shocking enough.
That's awesome. I was when I was younger, I was a Yankees fan. That's only because my brother was a Mets fan.
I got you.
And I really didn't know a whole lot of baseball, but if he was a Mets, I was a Yankees. You know what I mean? That yes. sibling rivalry yes. love thing going on. Yeah, but today I really don't follow baseball. But I mean, you have to be proud of that fact, though, that you had some influence on that young lad who eventually became a young man and made a career of it.
Yeah, back then you really just have no idea of how you're going to teach somebody a skill, whether it be small, big, or whatever. You never know what your influence is going to be in a young person coming up.
Right. Now, Melissa, we had spoken about this. I really didn't have anybody in law enforcement in my family prior to me going in, and you were in the same boat, correct?
Yes, nobody, but if I'm not mistaken, you've got a long history of law enforcement in your background, right?
Yeah, so growing up in Hampton, grew up across the street from a retired major, Major Williams of the Hampton Police Department.
Okay.
And my uncle, Dave Ellis, he's retired lieutenant from there. So my grandmother lived right down the street. And I could walk to my grandparents' house. Every day, my grandmother would have her scanner on in the kitchen, listening to the calls.
Really?
Yes. And back then, my uncle, he was a motor cop. So you're talking about in the 80s. So what show was big? Chips.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Ponch and John.
So, yeah. Right. So, I mean, it was kind of, you never realize it, but being around that, you're like, all right, yeah, this is pretty cool. You know, I would like to maybe do something like this later on.
So you grew up in it, yes. So to speak.
Yep.
And your uncle was a PD with,
yes,
Hampton?
Yep.
Wow. That's fascinating. So yeah. You subliminally, you got the message.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. That's absolutely interesting. Now, you have been around the police department here in your 28 years. You've made your rounds, if you will.
I have.
But yeah. What brought you here, though? If the connection was Hampton, why pick Newport News?
All right. So at VCU during my senior year, I reached out to retired MPO PR Smith, who was in recruiting.
Yeah. Right.
The connection with me and PR was his son Mike, and we played baseball together at Hampton High School.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So as I was talking to PR, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm getting close to the end of college, looking for a career. He goes, you know what? We're hiring. So I taught lessons up until that summer, came down when I was in there taking the written exam, there was 450 people in there.
And it was the old health building.
Yes.
That's right.
Yep. So that was pretty intimidating to begin
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
And go through the process and everything else. I was lucky enough to be 10 recruits for the Newport News Police Department going into that academy.
And you were selected.
I was.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, correct me if I'm wrong, but I was assigned to the training division when you came through.
Yes. You were with me on day one of my career.
And I hope I was kind.
You were.
Okay.
Sharp dressed, as always.
As always.
Squared away. You really set a really good example for new officers coming in to this profession.
That is very, very, very kind of you. I appreciate it. That was one of my fondest assignments. Like you had influence on that young man, I had an opportunity to influence others in a positive way. And I really think at the end of the day and at the end of our life, that's what we're going to be judged by.
Yes.
Right? The good that we do.
Yep.
Not how well we do, but how good we do.
Yes.
Mm. Right. So you're moving along. You go to the academy. You graduate. What's the next thing?
I end up being released to Watch 2 South.
Okay.
Was down there for about 18 months. And they formed, I want to say, the original HIP units back then when we were working with the state police to combat violent crime.
Now, HIP is High Impact Patrol.
Yes.
The original?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, and it was, you were barely in the car. You were always out on a mountain bike.
Mm. Yeah.
Patrolling downtown.
Got it.
The only time we were in a car was with the state troopers.
Right, when you doubled up.
Yes.
Mm. I remember that.
I worked for Sergeant Shockley at the time. Captain Mowry was our captain.
Right.
And just had a really good time. I really think that's where, like, community policing for me actually started.
Right.
And you can't hide behind doors of a car and just ride around. You are actually out in the public doing police work and community policing all the time.
Right.
So it was easy to stop and talk to people and get to know people, get to know the area.
Right.
So.
And Melissa and I worked in community and youth outreach, right? And I also worked in community programs as a sergeant. So we had a lot of contact with people. But the contact for me where that is of most value is that one-on-one contact that you have as an officer, that opportunity that you have to get out and just chat people up about absolutely nothing, whatever. You
know exactly.
What I mean?
Whatever matters at that particular moment, whatever that citizen starts to come, go down that way, and it builds relationships.
And, you know, for me, knowing sports and growing up through sports, I would use that as a icebreaker mm-hmm. to start a lot of conversations.
And you never want your first interaction with people or a group of people to be
Agree.
A police interaction mm-hmm. that may very well be the worst day of somebody's life.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so
right.
having it out there when you can sit around and talk about sports or just a mindless conversation is yep. always a great way to get it started.
Yeah, it's about building those relationships, right? That matter.
It is.
That are important. And it's interesting because those sometimes those relationships transcend outside of the police department. The
yes.
people that we meet while working.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can ride around downtown. And every now and then I'll get out and talk to somebody and they're like, Spencer, I know that name.
I know
name.
You. Yeah.
I know that name. You are here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's flattering too.
It is.
Because,
you know why? Because I think my parents instilled a great sense of respect in me for treating people the right way, talking to people the right way, that it was actually a bonus
right.
to get out and do this.
Right. And that's important for those young officers that are watching this program, that they hear what you're saying. People. We're in the people business.
We are.
So respect is of the utmost importance. And we're lucky that we have a police department that holds that value.
Yes.
That we respect the people that we serve because we're servants. We're public servants. We're servants of the people.
Yep.
So you end up getting promoted at some point.
Yeah. So after the HIP unit, I went to Vice Narcotics and okay. stayed there for about 4.5 years. A small stint was the first aggravated assault unit.
Right.
Shepherd was our commanding.
Retired chief.
Yes.
Assistant
yeah,
chief.
Yeah. Shepherd. Yeah. And after about 4.5 years working narcotics, I was like, you know what? I need a change. And applied for sergeant. Was lucky enough to be promoted to sergeant and went back to Watch 2 South.
So you went back to evening shift. Mm-hmm.
Very full circle.
Yep. Yeah. Stayed there for about 18 months and had the privilege to be one of the first supervisors for the gang unit when it first came out in 2008.
Right. So you were there at the developmental phase, all right, all the way up into the
yes.
inception.
Yeah. Yes. So I did my research. Norfolk PD had the best gang unit around, so I went over and talked to retired Sergeant Randy Crank over there, kind of shadowed him around to try to get the best practices to instill in the new unit, came back and put that in there, and I was there for about 6.5 years.
Wow, that's hard work.
It was.
But gratifying?
Very. You know, we had a lot of cold case homicides that we were able to solve. Very high profile ones too. So I had a group of great investigators. They were on it nonstop.
Yeah. That's an all in or all out position, right?
It is.
You got to give 110%.
It is.
Now, I was in street crimes as a young man, but I never served in a narcotics or gang unit. I don't know if you have, Melissa.
Yeah.
But I can tell from looking at the folks that are assigned to that unit, they're all in. They're giving 110% because they're either on the road working or they're in court.
Yep. And the documentation, paperwork, talking about gangs and everything else, it's got to be in order.
Yeah. And from what we learned about you, you love the details.
Yes.
You love getting into the weeds on these investigations.
Yes.
Yeah. You're dogged.
Yeah.
In the pursuit of justice.
Yes.
And that's a trait you have to have in that particular, well, really in law enforcement in general, but in that particular specialty.
Yes.
Because you can't just say somebody's in a gang. There's
Correct.
A lot that comes
Correct.
Along with
documenting
members.
Yep, there's state code that you got to follow.
Right.
So, I mean, it's very precise on the information that you're trying to collect.
Yeah.
Right. Eventually, you become a lieutenant.
Yes, but before that, I went to internal affairs. So
that's right.
That kind of...
That's a big stop.
Yes.
Go from the gang unit to internal affairs, it really opened my eyes to the other side of the police department.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's one thing to be a supervisor on a department and just have to manage your personnel out here. It's another thing to look into complaints coming
sure.
in and the accountability aspect that we need to make sure that we're doing the right thing while we're working or while we're off not working.
Right.
So that was very surreal. So
enlightening, I imagine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because that is not a position that every supervisor on this agency sees.
No.
It's they're very selective about who is positioned in that line of specialty, if you will.
And, you know, I guess the biggest thing that I liked about that was I became an investigator again because all you are is a fact finder.
Right.
You, and I used to tell people whether the facts are good, bad, indifferent. I'm just a fact finder. Whatever happened, happened. But I'm here to tell a story about what happened.
Right, right. So. And you find the facts and report them, and they take us where they take us.
Yep, yep.
Right. So eventually you moved to lieutenant.
I did. Wow. I did. Got promoted to lieutenant, went up North Precinct. The tactical lieutenant position I filled, 31, 34 I filled, 32, 33 I filled.
Those are districts.
Yes.
Those
are, yeah. And then came back to the admin lieutenant before being transferred to the training academy.
And that's where you served for a period of time as the academy director, as yes. I did. What a privilege that yes. was. That's a privilege. Yes,
it is.
Talk about influencing folks. That's a privilege.
Yes. I mean, you get these young folks from day one.
Yes.
And you've got to try to mold them into what type of officers they're going to be further down the road.
Right. And what an influence you have on the, and by the way, for the record, and I think we all three agree, we have one of the best training staffs in not only in the Commonwealth of Virginia, but I believe in the United States of
Hands
America.
Down.
Yes.
Hands
Talk
down.
About
Absolutely.
Commitment.
Absolutely. And now,
incredible.
Hands and now with the new training facility, it's perfect.
It's beautiful. Yep. Probably one of the best facilities in the entire Commonwealth
it's
of Virginia.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally, we can actually do laps inside
in the building.
Yes, we can.
That's, you will definitely get your steps in being assigned to training
you will
at
be.
This point.
You will be. So you end up getting promoted and now to lieutenant, and you work your way to captain.
I did.
And where are you at right now?
Support services.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I got promoted, I went to Special Investigations for the last 3 years and got transferred back in December to support services.
Here we are.
And here we are.
Yeah.
28 years.
Wow. That's a commitment.
I still have a young, or my youngest is getting ready to graduate high school, so
okay.
got a little bit more time.
You still got a little bit more time
yeah.
on the job, if
yeah.
you know. But you, the bottom line is, you're here because you enjoy it,
absolutely,
not because you have to be.
Absolutely.
I mean, at 25 years, you could have cashed in your chips,
yes,
and went and did something else, if you
yep.
will. But the bottom line is, you feel you still have not only a passion for the job, but you feel you have a purpose.
Correct.
Especially as the academy, as the person that not only oversees the academy, but you oversee recruiting.
Yes.
You oversee hiring. I mean, mm-hmm. you get them from literally before they become a police officer all the way until they graduate.
Yes.
And then they come in for in-service periodically every year, so you never lose contact with
correct
these
all the
correct.
Time
yeah yeah. And by the way, Melissa, he still plays softball.
Well, yeah, that's where
yeah.
I was going, because
yeah.
with all of those
How
things going
that?
On, you have a whole personal life to manage as well. So
oh, yes.
what do you do in your off time? I heard you say you have kids.
I do. My oldest is a junior at CNU.
okay.
Nice.
And my son is a full-time IT tech at York County Public Schools. And our youngest is a senior at Grafton High School. She got accepted into ODU. And
congratulations.
Hopefully we'll be attending ODU.
Now somebody
sorry,
knows
wait,
ODU.
Wait. Can we say that one more time?
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
I mean, it's just a great thing to say. Hey, go girl.
From a VCU guy, it's a little hard to say, but yeah. I got practice when my nephew played on the football team.
There
so,
you go.
Right.
But, yeah, and, you know, to blow off steam, you know, this job is very, very stressful. High intensity all the time. I actually, after college, started playing softball. Got pretty good at it. And back in 2006, I was introduced to police softball by former coach and manager of our team, Terry Dugan, over in Virginia Beach. He's a retired detective over there. So, and my buddy Scott Franklin, who's retired Virginia Beach as well, he's like, come on out to Baltimore for a tournament. So I packed my wife up and my two babies, and we go up there and have a good time. We win the tournament up there. I was like, all right, yeah, this is pretty cool. Fast forward 5 years, because life just gotten,
sure,
you know, a lot. Started playing pretty much full time on the police circuit, and it's policesoftball.com. Started back in 2004, 2005 by a good friend of mine, Jeff Blair, Del Pinckney, who passed away back in 17 or 18, and Ryan Coe. So they kind of, you had all these different tournaments all over the country. So they formed this super conference, to have the World Series out on the West Coast.
Wow.
So
it's a whole network. I like that.
So the circuit consists of anywhere between 80 and 90 teams a year. Wow. All over the country, Hawaii, Canada. So we end up rallying out in Vegas every October for the World Series.
Wow.
So
now you actually after you also played on some leagues here in Newport mm-hmm. News because you and I played on the same team.
Well, yes, but you're a whole lot better than I am.
Oh, let me tell you, you can testify that I am exceptionally poor. I was getting ready to say
that's a whole joke, right?
It's an absolute joke. Yeah.
I don't know. You've got the MVP.
Well, listen, the only time I played Melissa is when somebody needed to rest.
Oh,
you understand what I'm saying? I rode the pine. Okay. I almost got splinters on my rear end from that bench.
Were you the best pine rider there was though?
That I have, that I can say yes.
That's
yes. Because I had the waters ready for them and everything else.
Aww.
So, yeah. But yeah, it was a lot of fun though, playing with other police officers.
I mean,
firefighters, military.
Yeah. It's great to interact with the other agencies and the military community.
Yes.
Around here.
And it's a stress reliever. But you also, I know this about you, you also golf though as a stress reliever.
Yes.
Yeah, and from what I hear, you're an exceptional golfer.
You've been talking to my wife too much. She thinks I'm the next Tiger Woods, but, you know, definitely not.
That is a supportive marriage right there.
She's like, you should play professionally. I'm like, no.
Not going to work out.
I don't want to be embarrassed.
Yeah, and you also do some volunteering as well. You've done stuff with the Polar Plunge.
Yes, yes.
On your time off. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So this past February was our 9th Polar Plunge. Started off with my uncle getting a team together over there, and he passed away two years ago, so we kind of carry on the tradition for him. And it's great. It's supporting the Special Olympics. Our son was born with a little bit of a mild case of cerebral palsy, so we kind of had some challenges with him growing up, but it's just great to give back to that organization.
And you've raised a lot of money for that organization.
Yes.
That goes to good.
Yes.
Good.
I think total this past plunge was $1.7 million that was raised.
Wow, that's exceptional.
That's probably what I would need to jump in that water. Yeah. In February?
It was cold. It was cold.
Yeah. I believe it.
But a lot of people show up for that.
Yes.
That's awesome.
There's probably about 3,000 to 4,000.
Gosh. Wow. Wow. Talk about doing good right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Matt, how are we doing on time, sir?
We're good. We can rapid fire sometime soon here whenever Captain Spencer's ready for it.
I just want to throw one thing in there for the family. This is 25 years of you celebrating what now?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
So come September 30th will be me and my wife Cindy's 25th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Shout out to Cindy. Yep. Yes.
That is
25
awesome.
Is huge.
Yeah.
And so she's been with you your entire career.
Since 1998.
So she is very similar to my wife, a saint of a woman.
She is. She is.
Listen, all police wives are saints.
Yeah. Yeah. And husbands as well. Absolutely.
You know, that's a great point, Morgan, because for some form of fashion over my first 16 years of my career, I worked some type of evening shift.
Yeah.
And to have three kids, she runs her own business, daycare out of the house. So she's like the true champion. She's like always been there taking care of what needs to be done at home. So I don't have to worry about it, but you know, so yes.
And we don't talk about that enough. I don't think I agree with you. If it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't have the success that I've had in my personal and professional life.
Right.
She was always there not only to support me, but to kick me in the rear end when I needed a kick in the rear end, if you know what I mean.
That
they are truly our, They are a rock.
They are
a rock, and we don't probably give them enough credit for that. So, I'm glad you brought that
up. She was able to kick me in the rear to get promoted throughout.
Yeah. So. You know, and it's interesting how our loved ones will identify us being good or better than we think we are at something and pushing us in that right direction.
Because we're our own worst critics.
We are.
They know us better than we know ourselves.
Yeah. You know, when we clear calls for service, our first thought is, what could we have done better there?
Yes.
We're always constantly wanting to improve.
Right.
You're right. But they identify things in us that we don't always see. I know I would have never pursued my master's degree if it wasn't for my wife saying, you know, you can do it. And so there's so much support in the background So to all the spouses out there, I guess we should say it right now. You know, thanks for everything.
Thank you.
Yeah. Our spouses, our families. We could not have done this without you in any way, shape, or form. I think we all agree on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Melissa, shall we get into rapid fire?
Let's do it.
After you, my friend.
Oh, boy. This is going to be fun.
Oh, yes.
Favorite pro sports team?
Dallas Cowboys.
Stop the taping. We're done.
Yeah, we're finished. We're done. Let's wrap this sucker up.
Let's wrap it up.
That's right. Because you are.
I am a Steelers fan. Yeah. Yeah. The only team that matters.
Now, aren't they arch enemies?
Well, no. They are really arch enemies with the Commanders, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Any team in the NFC East.
Okay. Now, how do you feel? Because as you can see, I'm sporting my Buffalo Bills, Amari Cooper, right?
Again.
Mr. Cooper, if you're out there, shout out to you.
Who used to play for the Cowboys.
Right, who used to play for the Cowboys, and we recognized that he'd play better on the Buffalo Bills, so we took him.
But we love your wife, so we let you get away with it.
Yeah.
No, interesting fact about the Cowboys, it's because of my late grandmother.
Oh, really?
She was a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, my late grandfather worked for NASA, he was one of the designers of the space shuttle. So they used to spend a lot of time out in Texas.
Okay. Mm.
So huge Cowboys fan. She brainwashed me.
That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that.
About 46 years ago.
It comes from somewhere. So, yeah, it's all right.
Listen, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan because of my wife. But listen, I almost forgot to ask you, how do you feel now that the Dallas Cowboys are no longer America's team and the Buffalo Bills are?
Oh,
how do you feel about that? All right, shall we go to
No comment.
All right, next question, shall we?
Go for it.
All right. What was your first job?
First job?
Yeah. Mm.
So my dad was a welder.
Okay.
Over off at Craft Machine Shop. And one of my first jobs was to go over there and help out cleaning, like metal, sweeping up around the shop.
Wow. Hard work?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Did you learn the value of a dollar doing that?
I did. And I learned quickly what I did not want to do later on.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's about that.
Yeah.
There's moments like that, though, that make us realize how hard our parents were to give us the things that they believe we needed to succeed.
Absolutely.
Like, you don't see it as you're growing up.
Nope.
You know, and until you get to be older in life, right, you don't realize how much your parents sacrifice to make all your dreams come true.
Right. And we don't even realize that's happening, right?
Right.
In the middle of it. Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like as a parent, when you've figured that out, you recognize that that's what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
Like you don't want your kids to feel that until it's time, until they become adults. So if you figure that out, you're doing the right thing. You're on the right track.
Yeah. I agree. I 100%. Do you remember yours?
I thought we were just going to go to the next one.
There's no way I was going to let that pass up.
I do. In fact, my mom is watching this. She's probably dying laughing. She got me hooked up with the folks at Colonial Williamsburg. And I worked on Duke of Gloucester Street at Tuning's Tavern. I don't even know if it's still there. I was a hostess as my first summer job before my senior year of high school, so that I could pay for like high school incidentals and stuff.
Yeah,
I wore the outfit and everything.
Wow.
I did.
Wow.
I did.
Okay. My first job was a summer hire job. And because my father was in the U.S. Army, they offered teenagers of U.S. military personnel a chance to make a little money during the summer. I painted cabins, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I got a couple bucks in my pocket. Now, back then, I don't know if it was like $2 an hour or whatever it was, but I got some money in my
pocket.
So, yeah.
All right. Let's see. All right. Next one is, I love this one. Favorite pizza topping?
Anything meat.
Oh. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Beef, pork.
Yep. Anything. Chicken. Yep. Add it.
So you like a meat lover's kind of?
Yes.
Add it.
With a little bit of vegetables on it too.
That's so. Right. Just for the digestion.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine's cheese. Mine's cheese. That's simple.
Yeah.
You can't just have one though. That's my problem. So like if you do the pepperoni, you've got to do the mushrooms too.
Oh, so it has to be a combination?
It's got to be a combination.
Because they complement one another?
Because they just go together so well.
Makes perfect sense to me.
See?
All right.
And the spicier the marinara is, the better also.
So you like spicy foods?
I do.
Oh, but the heartburn.
Yeah, I'm not a spicy guy.
Yeah.
I can't
jalapenos.
Do that.
Mm.
Oh, do you eat them like right out of the jar? Like, yes. Kind of thing. You love those. That's my pops. He takes them right out of there. Mm. If he's tearing up, they're delicious.
Yes.
That you same thing.
Yes.
You know he's enjoying
that's
them.
That's right. All right. Question number four: cats, dogs, or pocket pets?
Absolutely, dogs.
Dogs.
Yes, we have two at the house. Mm-hmm. We've had four total, and my wife is always trying to. Hey, I need another puppy around. I'm like, no.
No, you don't.
You don't. And, you know, no, we got a 9-year-old golden doodle, Remy, and then a 6-year-old mixed chocolate lab, Hazel.
Wow. So, okay. No, no cats or anything else? Just the two dogs?
So we used to be cat people way back in when me and my wife first met. Because that was more manageable. Like house animal that you could have.
Sure.
And we rescued a cat and ended up rescuing like two or three. And
wow,
they were finicky though, boy. Very jealous.
Of each other?
Of the kids once we started having babies.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they knew you guys as parentless or kid childless individuals.
So,
cats are interesting. Yeah. They got one foot in, one foot out sometimes. I'm not a cat person.
I'm a cat person.
I'm a dog person.
Yeah, you have a dog that's over 100 pounds.
Oh, yeah. He's a big'un.
But a love bug, though, right?
He is a love bug. He will kill you with kisses.
That's the same thing with Hazel.
Yeah.
She's over 100 pounds, but she thinks that she's about 25
she
pounds.
She thinks she's a lap dog.
Yes.
Still wants the same way. Wants to be right in my
right on top of you.
Yes.
Well, we have a cat that's 18 pounds. 18 pounds. Yeah.
Reminds me of our old cat, Tiger.
Yeah.
He was plumpy.
Buster, yeah. He's a great cat. Let's see. One more question. Would you do the honors of the last one?
I will. I've got you. What is your dream vacation?
It's funny. Me and my wife have been talking about this. You know, we've put a lot on the back burners. In September, we're going to Dominican Republic.
Oh. There it is.
Punta Cana.
There it is. 25 years.
Yep.
25 years.
That's wonderful.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, and eventually probably traveling overseas. So.
Wow, that's incredible. What about you, Melissa? Are you doing Europe?
I am.
Entire Europe?
I'm so gone.
Yeah. Like a month traveling
so
all over
gone.
Europe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. England,
it's coming.
Italy.
I'm even, and I say this, and he may be watching this or... Eventually, I don't think he knows thus far, but Liam is coming with me. We're backpacking together, baby. My dad is, my dad's not too happy about it, but
that's amazing.
We're gonna see
together,
how
mom and son.
Oh, yeah,
it's the best thing ever.
Oh, yeah,
I think that's beautiful.
Great memory,
yes,
I think so.
Great memories.
My dream vacation is to rent or purchase an RV and hit every of the 50 states. That's what I want to do. And I'm not talking about one this month, one that month. I'm talking about doing them all.
You know, you can set up your
your
travel path to get the most out of it.
Right.
And I would love to do that, to visit all the Major League Baseball stadiums throughout the country. Catch a game at every single
everyone.
Dream come true.
Cool. Yes.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Wow, what a joy it's been today, huh, Melissa? Yeah, you're such a good guy.
So fun.
It's always a pleasure. It was fun. Yeah, and we've known each other for 20. It's hard to believe that we've known each other that long.
Yep.
So all the respect in the world for you, Wayne. Mm-hmm. You're a good man.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. And you treat people the right way. I mean, I can't ask for more. Thank you so much.
Appreciate
it. Melissa, you want to say bye to our audience
today? Yeah, listen, everybody, thank you guys for coming back. You know where to catch us anywhere you get your podcast, Apple, YouTube. Make sure you click the like button and come back and see us again next time.
Cheers, everyone.
Oh, yeah.